Welcome back to Challenges of Faith. I'm Gary McCants. Tonight's guest, Fatima Esther, also known as Queen Esther, the president and founder of the Philadelphia Ministry. Someone who started her journey from software to missionary. Say what? Yep, you heard it right. From software to missionary.
When the giants tower over my face, and I'm frozen by the battles I face, there is just one place I go to be
Yeah.
Welcome back to Challenges of Faith, Challenges of Faith, Challenges of Faith. Now, you know it's called Challenges of Faith for a reason, for a reason. You know, the adversary, he works in many, many different ways. Those of you who understand that and believe that, that just simply means that Fatima has a story to share. And seems like the adversary doesn't want individuals to hear about it, because we're talking about someone who started her journey from software to missionary. That's right, software to missionary. Now, you know she has a story to tell. My beloved sister in Christ, Fatima, welcome to Challenges of Faith.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Thank you so much for your warm welcome and my introduction on the show. Hi, everybody, and greetings to you all in the name of Jesus, everyone that is listening to the radio show. I'm going to share about my testimony and also about faith.
All right. Can't wait to hear. But first and foremost, how are you?
Yes, sir.
How are you and the family and your husband, John the Baptist, and the worship team?
Yes, praise be to God. We are all fine. Thank you so much for asking.
Fatima, let's take a walk through your journey from software to missionary and leading you to forming the Philadelphia Ministries. And take your time, because this is your program.
Sure. Thank you so much.
What college did you attend, and what were your fields of study?
All right, first let me start with where I am brought up. I am brought up in a city called Hyderabad. It's in South India. You know, it's always important to remember where you come from and our backgrounds and all that. So I come from South India, from a Hindu family. Okay, and it's a culture here to grow up in a joint family. A joint family is where more than two families live together, you know, and my dad is the eldest one, and he had three younger brothers. So they all live together, they grew up together, and they got married, and they still continue to live together, having their all, you know, having their offspring. So we were all seven brothers and seven sisters, so 14 kids, cousins together, that we grew up together. For 22 years, we were together, for 21 years. And I did my engineering. After my computer science engineering, I did my engineering in Mahatma Gandhi Institute of Technology, which is one of the famous institutions here, one of the best institutions for engineering. And then after my engineering, I had a couple of jobs. I had worked for a German-based company, Zarges. It's called Zarges. It's a manufacturing company and HR. And then after an year, I got placed in another company called F-Secure, which is a Finland-based company. It's a software company. So I was praying to God that, you know, God, put me in a company where you use my talents, where you use me for your glory, you know, and God has been really gracious. And I got this job in Finland. Let me back up a bit. You know, when I was growing in this joint family, all of my family members used to worship serpent as their goddess. And even I was them worshiping serpent, and, you know, life is completely different here in India. It's not what you can ever imagine. It's crazy. It's fun. It's everything that you can name. It's chaos. And there's a lot of rituals and culture, because it's an idolatry nation. It's a male-dominant and idol-dominant nation. So when I was in my 20s, I started to, you know, kind of get an understanding about the world and life. And I was like, I was successful in my job, in my, you know, education. I had the best of everything, like being with 20, 25 members in the family. It was like a festival every day, you know. But you can't always have festivals. One day you'll get bored of them as well, right? So
okay.
I was thinking, Lord, I never knew Lord, honestly. I was thinking, I always believed God. I always believed in everything, just like Hindus do. Hindus believe in everything. You just show them a stick and say, that's a God. They're going to believe that. You're going to show them a paper and say, that's a God. They're going to believe it. You know, you just show, even cow dung, they worship. They worship flowers. They worship wood. They worship cows. You name it and they worship it. You know, they have such kind of blindness when it comes to spirituality. I mean, but on the other hand, they are very spiritual people. I mean, they strongly believe that there is God. Not knowing that who is the true living God, but they know that there is God and they always have hope in God. And that's what I was trained up as and I grew up with that. And the gods and the goddesses that I'm worshipping are not giving me peace, you know, and that was something which I always complained about, like saying that, you know, I cry to these gods, but I don't get a response. I don't see any change. I talk to them, but I need somebody who can respond to my, you know, cry or my prayers or whatever it is. I wanted some god to talk to me. I kept on doing this for years and years and years. It got pretty frustrated. So when I was in my 21, I got into a place where I completely knew what I need in my life, and it was peace. I needed peace in my life. And I started to search peace. I went to everything, you know, everything sacred. For instance, a temple where the idols are worshipped. I went to church where Jesus is worshipped. I went to mosque where Allah is worshipped. I've been to all places, you name it, and I've been there. Having said that, I did this for about more than 1 year, and I was completely exhausted searching for peace and going to all these places, sacred places, where I don't still find peace. And that is when, this day, where I was at a church, all right, I was sitting in this church and I never knew how to talk or to pray to Jesus, because in Hindu worship, it's like you just go and do some rituals and you go back. You never talk to God. It's always the priest that does the rituals and you just don't do anything particularly. And you definitely don't talk to God in Hindu worship. So, but with Jesus, I had a few Christian friends. They used to take me to church and my mom was always against it. She said that you must not go to church, you know. So I always respected my parents and said, okay, I'm not going to go. But, you know, having friends, Christians, sometimes we just hang out and they said, hey, come, let's just go to church for once in a while. And I went to the church. I kind of liked it, you know. I kind of liked the environment. I liked the ambience and I liked the way people used to worship Jesus. I was like, wow, this is all different. But that is not when I really wanted to have Jesus as my God. It was when I actually encountered Jesus as a real God in my life. So I was sitting at a church. As I told you, I've been to all the sacred places I could, to temple, to mosque, and to the churches, many churches. And I've been to this church. I don't even remember which church was it, because I traveled so long in search of churches, in search of peace. And then I finally found a place to rest in this church, just sat in that church. And I see the names that Lord is Jesus, and Jesus is God. And these are the words that I read on that. And I was like, whatever it is, Jesus, look, I'm searching for peace. If you find it, Jesus, can you please give me some peace? These are the very words I said to him. I just said, hi, Jesus, I'm looking for peace. Can you help me? And that's it. I heard a voice, so gentle. I mean, that's just incomparable. You have never, ever heard such voice in your life, and I bet you can never. Saying that, I am peace. I was trembled. You know, these are the moments of life where you just experience them. It's even hard to explain. I'm just trying to put it in mere words, but the experience is much more bigger than the words. So when Jesus said, I am peace, I turned and looked around. There was nobody. And I was like, I was in a shock. I said, Jesus, did you just say something? And again, he says to me, I am peace. I was like trembling and I got tears in my eyes. It was not a tear that was comparable to the previous tears, but it was a tear of joy. It was a moment where I finally accomplished, and it was a moment where I got what I was searching for. It was like a treasure hunt and I finally found it. You know, that there's no greater joy than getting a treasure when you're hunting for it. And I found peace. I found Jesus. And that very same day, I came back home with lots of joy and excitement. Though my body was really worn out, tired, exhausted, I said, Mom, I've been to a church and I met Jesus. She was like, look, you're tired, you're exhausted. I think you're crazy. Just go to bed. I said, Mom, please listen to me. She said, like, just sit up and sleep. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. Then I got up. I said the same things to my parents. My dad was like, okay, good for you. But my mom, she was so against it. She was like, this girl, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? What's happening? Jesus is not our God. He is a foreign God. This is the very word that she said. Jesus is a foreign God. And to add to that, she said, She said, Jesus is the God of whites. I was like, Mom, look, I heard his voice. I spoke to him, and she never believes. And she's like, no, you're not. Changing God is like changing mother. You know, you have this emotional quote from your parents in India. You get a lot of them. You get a lot of emotional blackmail. But I was like, fine, if you believe it or not, that is what has happened, and I'm not going to deny it. She said, okay, fine, whatever it is. But you know what? In Hindu culture, there is this tradition that you must pray every day, at least for 5 minutes. You know, just go in front of these idols and do some rituals. For 5 minutes, and then you can start. That is how you have to start your day. And she, my mom, observed that I haven't been doing it for about a week. And she said, she kept quiet and she observed for one more week. And she finally said, my nickname is Sony. They call me Sony at my home. And she said, Sony, now go and get those, sticks to do the rituals for goddess. For our goddess, because I'm busy today, you must do this. I said, Mom, you think I was joking when I told you that Jesus is my God now? I'm not going to do it. She got so furious that she took my Bible. She took my Bible and she threw it away. And she said, you're talking nonsense. Now you want to change your mother. Now you want to cheat your religion. You can't do all this. It's just not accepted. It's forbidden. If you become a Christian, you'll be looked down, you know, in the society. Everybody will treat you like nobody. And I can't allow this to happen to you. So you better change your mind. I'm giving you some time. Just get back to normal and don't create nonsense in the family. You know, it's like a really big thing, you know. 100 members are worshipping one goddess, that is serpent, and I am, and here I am worshipping the one true living God, and I'm being mocked, I'm being commented, I'm being asked questions, I'm being just under so much of pressure to come back to religion. I said only one thing: now Jesus is my God, and I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to worship any of your idols. You die with them, and I'm not going to die with them. That was like outraging. That got them all so furious for many, many, many months. And then God has blessed me with this job of F-Secure. Well, this company is one of the finest companies I have worked with, and I'm really blessed to be part of it. And you know what? This job is an answer prayer. I was praying to God. God, I did my engineering, and you know, I know that you're a God that can do anything. It was my initial stages of Christianity when I just become a Christian, and I don't even know how. Never knew how to pray. I just talk in a layman language and say, Jesus, look, I'm not happy with the things right now, and I need a job where I can be happy, and I can show people that I'm your child. That's what my ultimate goal is. I just want people to know that I'm your child. And God blessed me with this job. It's a Finland-based job, and I was heading the country marketing operations. You know, trust me, it was a wonderful job. I had great experiences. God was like training me. It was not an easy job because I had huge responsibility. I had a team of 30 members under me. And I was traveling back and forth. I was hardly at home. I was at home for only 2 days a week. And I was like traveling, and I was working hard. But you know what? All through this, wherever I was traveling, I've been to Finland, I've been to Malaysia, I've been to Sweden, I've been to Prague, I've been to all the cities in India, domestic also. I just knew that God was with me, and God was holding me by his hand, and he was the one that put me on that place, you know, in that place, and he was the one that was taking me all through this country just to let them know that I'm a Christian. You know, wherever I go, I used to say, I used to talk about Jesus, no matter how bad people are. I always say, you know, I'm sure that Jesus can help us, you know, in whatever situation, be it at a lunch or dinner, a corporate party. I made sure that people know that I'm a Christian. And always they recognize me for my hard work as an employee and also as a Christian. You know what? I had Christian discussions with my board members. I mean, they were curious to know about Jesus, knowing about me as a Christian. And God blessed me in my company. I had the favor of the management, and they were this higher kind of people, like the C-level, right? The chair, board members of the company, they were so interested to have a conversation about Jesus. I mean, that's the greatest testimony, you know. I mean, if you think in these days, usually no board member would prefer to talk anything about religion. But I had the opportunity to share about Jesus, and had real good conversations with them, explaining my faith and how much God loves people and how much I love him. I think I can never forget that. And that's also one of the biggest parts of my testimony. Even now, they remember me as a child of God, as a Jesus disciple. Even when I was leaving the company, I wrote this big email saying that, guys, everything is temporary, but there's one thing that is eternal, and that is Jesus Christ. I want you all to know about him. And this mail went across thousands of employees in the company. And that's how I left the job, because God has called me. When I was in Finland, he gave me a vision saying that it's time now, you got to follow me. I was like, Jesus, wait. I mean, I know nothing about ministry. I was like a simple girl. I just wanted to get married because it's a normal dream. Every girl dreams to get married when she has a job, when she's, you know, when she's in a good position, she just wants to get married to a right guy and be happy. But here I had a couple of challenges. One was my parents, they wanted me to marry a Hindu who's a non-Christian. And on the other side, God said I should do ministry, which I had no clue about. I was thinking like I'll get married to a Christian and just be happy, have a simple life, have kids and have a husband and, you know, just beautiful, simple family life. But everything changed with that vision of Lord Jesus Christ saying that you are called and now you're going to serve me. You are my follower. And that was the biggest, greatest decision of my life, which I can never deny. I had to do a lot of thinking. I was like questioning myself. I was questioning God. God, are you serious? Come on. I mean, you can't be serious. I mean, you know my background. I know nothing about ministry. I just know nothing. You know, I don't even know how to pray. And you want me to preach and you want me to do this and you want me to be like your servant? It's impossible. I just can't do that. I was trying to explain God, but he's like, you are going to follow me. Period. And then, okay, Jesus, this life is yours. So I'm going to give it back to you. I made up my mind. And I started my ministry. I came back to India.
Hey, man, before you go there, before you go there, I have some questions for you. First of all, let me say to the listeners, first of all, Esther's still in her 20s. So don't y'all be fooled by that. And second of all, you know, while listening to Esther, hearing her powerful testimony, I know, listeners, you're hearing a lot because that's important for you to hear. Not only you, but myself and everyone who will be hearing Esther's testimony. But most importantly, she's sharing about the challenges that occurred in her life when she made a decision to accept Christ. You're hearing her say, starting with family, even on her job. But most importantly, before we continue Esther's story, I have a question. Esther, why did you pray and ask God to reach your parents? And did God finally answer your prayers for your parents?
You know, every question may not have the answer that we expect, but there's always a way. There were a couple of instances that I would like to share after I became a Christian. My parents, as I told you, they were completely against. My mom almost threw every Bible I had, and online was the only way for me to know about Jesus. And in about a couple of years, my dad had to go through a surgery. It was bypass surgery. You know what? My mom, she was in such a distress, came to me and said, Sony, Esther, can you ask your God to save your dad? That was one instance I realized that she believes in Jesus. You know, she knows that our God has power. And she knows that our God can give life. And the second instance, after the surgery, it was successful. I fasted for 40 years. I don't boast. It's only because of my fasting, but God heard my steadfast prayers from my father that he's alive and with us now. And then my parents never ever bothered me about being a Christian. They accepted me as I am. You know, I think that was a great change for me. I said, God, that's you. Praise be to God, yes. And that's you, Lord, that have changed their hearts, that now they see me as your child, more than theirs. And that really made a lot of difference to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as good works go on, the enemy also tortures people's mind and, you know, always mm-hmm. brings trouble upon God's children. And then I'm here. My parents say that, okay, so it's fine that you accept you as a Christian, but you need to marry a Hindu, a non-Christian. And I'm mm-hmm. like, look, how is this possible? Now you say, I am this and I'm that. Now you want me to go back to where I come from. This mm-hmm. is not possible, Mom. And they don't accept mm-hmm. it. So I went to Finland for my job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was praying there in a lot of distress. Look, God, you have got me until here. And I know that you're not going to leave me. And I need your help now. I just want to get married to a Christian man. I don't need a Hindu man.
Mm-hmm.
And God told me, start your ministry and forget about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. I mean, becoming a Christian was such a big challenge. And now God tells me, come follow me. I felt mm-hmm. this was even greater test that God could give me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know what? I came back to India. I put down my papers and my colleagues were like crazy. I mean, they were like telling me, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind to lose such a job? I was earning like $2,000 a month. This was about 2010, nearly 9 years ago. And I was heading the company. I was earning good. I was traveling across the globe. And people were like, you are really mad to lose this job only for Jesus. I said, look, I don't need your opinions. I'm just leaving the company. And I finally did that. You know what? After I became I started my ministry. Of course, there was a church that I always used to go and attend. There was this lady called Ruth, who was the one who introduced me to Jesus, and you know, who always prayed for me and my parents, because that was just a moment of transition for me from becoming a Hindu to Christian and being born again. She was always my mentor. So I told her, look, this is what God told me to do. And she encouraged me and said, yes, you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to do mighty things. And my calling is Jeremiah 1:5, a prophetess called for the nations. That is my calling. And I was like thinking, Lord, I know nothing. And you know what? I started my 40 days of fasting. And then God started to show places. After I finished my fast, God started me to show places to which I need to go and minister and to preach and, you know, to share about Jesus and about my testimony. I went to like 4 or 5 villages and then I was like, Lord, I've been to many places now. What do you want me to do? He said, just be here and start a church. And that's another big step. And we prayed a lot. Me and my team, we were like about 5 members. Yeah, 5 members, and we started to pray fast. And after 1 year, from 6 members, the church grew to 200 congregation.
Praise God.
And I'm grateful and thankful. It was all His grace that He heard our prayers and He answered our prayers. But you know what? My parents, on the other hand, they never accepted me as a Christian. Still, I mean, though they know the power of God, they were like still forcing me to the religion. And now it came to a point where I had to take care of my parents while I had no job, right? And I was still mm-hmm. continuing to support my parents without my job, giving God's money. And it was really frustrating for me. You know, I was like, God, I cried to God. I said, look, God, I'm earning in your service, in your vineyard, and I don't want to waste it. You know, I said, like, everything is going to my parents, rent and all that. I don't want to do this. I want to build up the church. I mean, I want to, you know, extend my ministry. And God heard my cry, and his ways are always mysterious, right? So so I happened to meet John, who's a pastor, and he proposed me, and he said he was the one who baptized me. That's why I called him John the Baptist. So he proposed me and said he wants to marry me. Because he knows my parents wants me to get married to a Hindu man. And I was like, I'm not ready for marriage yet, you know. And he said, look, this is what God has told me, that we have to marry. And if God says, who am I to say no? Then I said, okay. And my parents, my entire community, about 500 people have turned against me. And they plotted. They plotted a plot where they could lock me up in the door, and they could beat John and make him leave the city so that we would not get married. That was their plan. And I was fasting. I was fasting and praying, Lord, if this is your will, let it be done. If it is not your will, then let it not be done. That was my prayer for 40 days. And on the 19th day, I got married with John in the presence of my parents, who are very unhappy. You know, they were very unhappy. They were so disturbed. I mean, God, yes, God brought everything in alignment with his will.
That's
that
they
just had to obey. They had no option. I just said, look, I'm not going to marry anybody. If it has to be someone, it has to be John, or I'm not going to marry anyone. That's it. And they were like really afraid. I said, like, they also plotted all these things against us, but God did not let them work. As you know, I always used to pray the Psalms. Like I always used to say, God, confuse my enemies. Lord, let them scatter. And God really is an awesome God, that he has saved me from troubles. He has saved John. And he was the head of my marriage. And he did this marriage, which was really not fancy like I thought. But it was just a quick fix kind of a thing. We just got married and we moved on. We started our lives. My parents didn't talk to me for about 1 year. They were pretty upset with me. They moved away from me. And it was me, Pastor John. And Pastor John comes from a pastoral family. His lineage is about 100 years of service in the Lord. His entire generation, like his father, grandfather, now himself, and now his son. So I said, God, I'm really not worthy to be part of this family, but you make me worthy. That has always been my prayer. Now we have a congregation of 200 members. We support single mothers. We support widows. You know, for me, charity is the center of ministry. God has taught me great lessons, and I feel we must share this love that God has given us in form of action, not just saying empty words, but we must also put every effort to make community better, to let know the name of Jesus to people. If you give things to, if you just go and tell, okay, I bless you in the name of Jesus, they will say, okay, fine, empty words. But no, we do things in a way that they would remember it. We feed the homeless every week. We feed 1,000 homeless every month. And we take care of single mothers. We take care of widows. We provide shelter. We provide groceries. We take care of street kids and orphan kids. And, you know, it's been an incredible journey. This month is going to be my 11th year of the ministry. And I thank God for everything he has done and everything that he is going to do. And what I have a burden is that India is 1.3 billion, and there's a lot of idolatry, and I'm praying that God would raise his people. You know, I come from Hindu, and I'm certain that God is going to raise prophets, his servants, his evangelists from all over the places for India to be saved. So that's my deepest desire.
Praise God. My beloved sister of the household of faith, Fatima, you knew that God had called you for a reason, beginning from your mom's womb, all for his purpose. And just think,
yes,
you also knew that you were not going to bow to false gods or religions. Then what we're hearing, mm-hmm, listeners, how God honored her faithfulness to him. Think about it. God have her and her husband, John the Baptist, and team members serving,
yes,
where a population of 10 million persons are, which less than 4% are believers of a household of faith. Fatima, how has,
yes,
and is your faith being challenged while attempting to present the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel?
Yes. You know, after so many years of serving the Lord, I think all that matters to God is faith in him. Without faith, no ministry can ever succeed by the hand of God. You know, we must be very aware that you can be successful, but it can also be without God. But to please God and to have a successful ministry that God wants and God appreciates and says that, well done, my good, you need to have faith and you need to have obedience. So yes, definitely faith has played a major role, and it always is faith that has been the foundation of my ministry. You know, we are an independent ministry. We don't beg for people money, or, you know, we don't kind of really work for somebody that could give us money. No, we are completely faith-based. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. I always have this on my lips. I say, God, you are a provider, and you provide our needs. And, you know, we don't want to be like pagans about worrying things of this world, but we want to focus on things above. We want to focus on you, Lord. So please help us to get through these situations. And it really surprises me. Faith takes a lot. I mean, I feel like faith costs your life. You know, to have faith in such a great God, you must be going through a lot of tribulations, sufferings, and it's all worth it. You know, and that is how your faith is tested. You just can't say that, oh yeah, I have faith in God, he's gonna do it. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of blood and sweat and work. You know, he is all-powerful God. He is the living God. And you must give all yourself to serve him, to make yourself presentable to him, to be a good steward, and, you know, work hard in his vineyard and finally get his appreciation. You should not look for people that could appreciate you and support you. You should look for God who is sitting in the heavens above and watching you and thinking to himself that, okay, now what is she going to say to me? Is she going to believe me and continue to grow in faith, or is she going to fall back? This is what God thinks about every servant, and I think we must hold on to our faith as a shield. In every trouble and tribulation, it's only faith that could rescue you, and it's God that tests your faith, and you must be able to pass through that. If you don't get through, you know, I think you would not be successful as a minister of the Lord.
Esther, you believe mission of family and prayer are important. Why?
Well, prayer. Okay, there's two questions you asked. Family.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk, uh-huh, about family, I only think about Adam and Eve, and there's no,
mm-hmm,
better example than that. You know, family is made by God. It's an institute made by God himself to glorify,
mm-hmm,
him. He said, be multiplied. And and be blessed and serve me and glorify mm-hmm. me, that
That's
family.
Right.
And
That's right.
you cannot ignore that fact. And in
mm-hmm.
Matthew, Jesus Christ also says that when a Pharisee comes and asks Messiah, Rabbi, why do you think we need to give divorce? And Moses said, we need to give divorce. And Jesus says, you can divorce only when the person is unfaithful, but God hates divorce because he created a man and woman to be together and nothing shall separate them. And
mm-hmm.
one of his disciples says that, then it is better for them to not get married if it has to be divorced. And Jesus replies, this is something fascinated me when I was reading the gospel. He says, it's kind of predestined. I feel it's predestined that God says that few are born that way, that they cannot live without family, and few are born for the kingdom, that they won't get married for God and they just want to serve the Lord. So I think it's very important. You cannot neglect if a person is married, he only can serve. And you cannot neglect a person who's not married, he cannot serve. Apostle Paul was not married and he did the greatest ministry ever.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, King David got married and he there was no king like him that ruled
mm-hmm.
God's people. So family is very important to glorify God, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And second, prayer. This reminds me of Charles Spurgeon quote.
mm-hmm.
which says there was a person that asked, which one is important for you, reading the word or praying, you know? And he says, which one is important, breathing out or breathing in? So it's equally important for us to pray. I mean, Jesus Christ himself have prayed all the day he was serving and all the night he was praying. These were the two things that he did. He was serving and he was praying. And the ultimate purpose for all the cross and his sacrifice is to have the bride of Christ. You know, at the end, it's going to be the wedding of the Lamb. That's the glorious day that everyone has to look forward to. And
mm-hmm.
and it's family. It's the greatest family reunion. So I think the ending days, enemy is dividing families, enemy is scattering families, and we must be very aware of the schemes of the devil, and we must
mm-hmm.
always cover our families through prayers. There is no other way that you could cover your family. And you know what? You should not pressure your family members like you must be like that, you must do like that. I see a lot of religion in the way, even in the families, there is a lot of religion that parents try to rub on the kids, be like this, be like that. It's okay to an extent. You can tell, they share, okay, don't do this, it's not good for you. Just leave it there. Don't try to insist and try to change them. You should not try to be their Jesus, you know. And that's
mm-hmm.
what I feel is a major drawback in the family these days, that kids have become very rebellious. Because parents are not able to show them enough love. You know, they are so busy working, chasing money, and they have less time for the kids. And kids obviously will have many other ways to choose their happiness. And we must pray always for families. And for also, in the ending days, we must cover ourselves in prayer. We must pray without ceasing. And as Paul says, pray without ceasing. Give thanks to God. Submit your supplications, giving thanks. And do not be anxious, but just pray, pray, and pray.
Listeners, you're hearing from Fatima, also known as Queen Esther. Now, you're hearing about her journey. Think about it, from software to missionary, the challenges of her faith, the trials and tribulations, starting with family, talking about all the different gods that the community worships. But she chose to stand firm and serve only God, the true God, the God of the scriptures. To such a degree, he led her to form the Philadelphia ministry. But not only that, led her to her soulmate, John the Baptist. Didn't make a difference how the devil used whomever he tried to use to cause both of them not to come together as one. God persevered as he always does and will continue to do. But most importantly, what you're hearing is that our beloved sister Esther is sharing that it is a trial. She's sharing that it's easy to talk about it from your lips, but you got to show it in your shoes. That you're going to go through the challenges of your faith, but most importantly, she's sharing that God is going to be with you. He's not going to let you down. You're in his arms. So trust him. Esther, I understand that you enjoy table tennis, chess, football, and music. Why those activities?
Okay. Well, I'm so sorry. I never enjoyed them. I'm sorry. You know
you're my
sister. Here in India, cricket is like a religion. Cricket is the only happening sport.
Uh-huh.
If you say sport or game, it's cricket for them.
All right.
Yeah. But for me, I was never interested in sports, but music has always been my passion.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Hey, you know, listeners, you know, I don't know what God is up to, but I know that God brought us together so that Esther, through the Philadelphia Ministries and Brother John and Challenges of Faith and you as listeners, all of us are going to be a part of the family, working with each other as God allow us to present the Great Commission together as brethren of the household of faith. Esther, how can the listeners become a covenant partner to support and contact you?
Okay. Well, they can use either MoneyGram or Western Union or PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And first, I would like for them to pray about it. You know, I want them to pray for India. I want them to pray for the ministry that I have here. And I want them to have that burden. You know, it's not about just giving money. It's about having heart for God's work. Because God wants the entire world to be saved. It is his creation. And India happens to be the second highest populated nation after China. And we occupy 15% of the world's population. And you just can't ignore that, you know, and we are working hard here. It would really be appreciated. And it's a motivation for us. There's somebody who's praying for us. There's somebody who could support us. And there's somebody whom we can look up and say, that's my brother and sister who believes in us and who's helping for proclamation of kingdom of the Lord here in India.
Listeners,
you know,
look for our sister to be continually sharing her testimony with, you know, our Christian magazines, you know, like Christianity Today and Christian Post and so forth. And because it's important for individuals of every community, just like Fatima is sharing about India, but also correlating it to China. It's important for every community on this planet to understand that God is always going to use his child, his children, irrespective of where they live globally, to get his message out to their community. Fatima, what final words do you have for the listeners?
Yes, as I have seen terrible darkness of idolatry, I would pray and beg each and every one of you to know who and what is your idol and be set free from it. A lot of people have made themselves their beauty, their money, their family, their you name it, and they have made it as their idol. Idol is just not something you see that's in your mind about God. Anything that's about God for you in your heart is an idol. I want you to search your hearts and seek your hearts and get rid of idolatry right now in the name of Jesus, and steadfastly hold on it, or hold on to your faith, and start believing in God. Pray to God about everything, not just about simple, the things that matter, but even for things that do not matter, you got to put it in front of God and say, God, I'm not able to understand this. Please, can you simplify me? And that's why God says, whenever you acknowledge me as your God, I will make your path straight. So we must remember our identity as children of Most High God. And we must pass on this to our generations that come and they are seeking God. So these ending days, my brothers and sisters, my only prayer is that you would seek the Lord and love the Lord with all your heart and be able to show others the love of Christ. So, yeah. And have faith in the Lord and Him alone. Never ever trust your own instincts, because we are mere mortals. We are not wise at all. We must fear the Lord. We must serve the Lord. And that is the very purpose. We must know and love the Lord.
Praise God. Hey, my sister. Thank you for taking the time to come on Challenges of Faith and share your testimony, because I know you're coming back. And I know when you come back the next time, you're going to bring Brother John with you. And but I do thank you. Listeners, it's been very humbling that I'll share at a different time. And that's when our beloved sister will come back on with Brother John. And I'll share at that time. But it's been very humbling. And I am so thankful to God for this fellowship and relationship with our beloved sister. If you only knew. Thanks, Fatima, for coming on. Queen Esther, everybody. Well, you have it. Our beloved sister of the household of faith that God is using for His purpose. Not your purpose, not my purpose, but His purpose. Queen Esther and her team are servants of God and family in Christ. A people dedicated unto God that are changing their communities, and committed to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to people all over the world, using the gifts under the power of the Holy Spirit and the talents that He has blessed them with for His glory. You heard her story. You will continue to hear her story. Watch and see as God allow our beloved sister to spread the message, not only in India, but on behalf of her community, but from a global perspective. That's what it's all about. Lord willing, join us this upcoming Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as our brother Ronald Clay over at Moody Bible Institute, a student, third year in seminary, joins us to share his sojourn to how he arrived at Moody Bible Institute. I'm Gary McCants, and thank you for listening to Challenges of Faith. Thank you.
In the beauty of whole.